took his power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain.
Good morning. Welcome to the Morning Motivation Broadcast. This is where we start your day off right with hot breakfast for your soul. I am Evangelist Roxy Williams, here with you Monday through Friday at 6:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, tackling life's everyday issues with biblical perspective to empower your daily life. We tackle a new topic. We hold group prayer, and I assign a new task each day. And this is all within 15 minutes, so you can get to work. Our topic for this morning is Living Life by Design, Part 2, or Life by Design, Part 2. We started off with this topic on yesterday, and we're just continuing in this powerful vein this morning. So our scripture for today comes from John 6, 38 through 40, and then Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 19. While you're getting your Bibles ready, I remind everyone that you can learn more about me and the ministry on my website, that is feelthefire.com. F-E-E-L, feel, letter D, fire.com. You can also join me live for breakfast. I have a huge table here for everyone to come and do this feast by calling in at 323-70-4180. That's 323-870-4180. Well, by now, you should have your Bibles ready. Let's get ready and eat some hot breakfast this morning. We're going to the book of John, chapter 6. Verses 38 through 40, and I am reading from the KJV. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 19, from the KJV. A feast is made for laughter, and wine maketh merry, but money answereth all things. What is our topic for this morning? Living Life by Design, Part 2. And the subtitle of that would be, Get Your Money Right. On yesterday, we focused on living life by design from the perspective of what I read in John 6, 38 through 40, being that you first had to realize that you have a purpose on this earth to even begin to plan to accomplish something. So I taught you from that scripture how even Jesus said, "There, I didn't just come down from heaven to aimlessly float through life. There was a specific purpose that I came here for, not to do my will, but to do the will of him that sent me." Then he went further to explain what that will was. And so I taught you that the first part of living life by design is to understand not only that you have a purpose in life, but to be able to identify what the purpose is. See, you maybe have the purpose that you are going to serve God and win souls, maybe in ministry. Maybe someone else is going to do that through a political platform. Maybe someone else is going to do that as an educator. Maybe someone else will do that as a nurse in healthcare. Maybe someone else will do that as a stay-at-home mom or stay-at-home dad. My point is, you need to find out what your purpose is and how God has it arranged for you to get there. Because if not, you will find yourself off focus because you're trying to live out someone else's purpose. Jesus said, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me, then went exactly into what that will was. Because when you know what the purpose is for your life, see, then you can stay focused. But when you don't know, you will live life aimlessly, beating against the air. You will be throwing jello against the wall and hoping that it sticks. For whatever your future is supposed to be, you will be dating anybody, marrying anybody, taking any kind of job. You'll be enrolling in school and never completing degrees, or, you know, an associate's will take you 8 years because you're in and out. You know why? Because you don't know what your purpose is. So you can't live life by design. Now, some of you would say, well, you know, it's up to the Lord. The Lord even said faith without works is dead. So get off of that. I'm trying to empower you today, and I'm dealing with these everyday issues. So then we went over to Ecclesiastes 10 and 19, and that's where the focus comes in today on get your money right, because the word says money answereth all things. Now, if you don't believe that's true, don't have money to pay your rent, or don't have money to pay your mortgage. Don't have money to put gas in your car to get to work, or money to buy a bus fare if you don't have a vehicle. Don't have money for groceries. Don't have money to keep your electricity and your water on. When you don't have the essentials, you really can't even be joyful or happy in anything else. You don't want to go to church. You hate sitting there and you don't have anything to give in the offering. You have no tithe. You've tithed. You feel like, I don't even have any money to wear, have any clothing. Ladies, if you're like me, I like my nails done and, you know, my lashes done and all of that. When you can't do that kind of stuff, although that may seem trivial to some people, that bothers you because it's not trivial. It's what you like to do, your enjoyment, your relaxation for yourself, and that's okay. If a man likes to go hunting or fishing and he can't do that, or, you know, a man likes to work out in the gym and he doesn't have money to do that, then that just sets his whole day off badly or starts his whole week off wrong, because that's part of what he wants to do. When you can't do something for your children, they're in school and they just need $20 for a particular activity, and everybody else can go but your kid can't go, doesn't that bother you? Yes, it does. As parents, we will get out and go work 5 jobs if we have to, get in the streets and beg and borrow to get that $20 for that kid. Money answers all things. So part of living life by design is that you have to get your money right. Now, I know I will have those who are saying, well, the Bible said that money is the root of all evil. No, 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 no. Let's correct that. 1 Timothy 6 and 10 says, for the love of money, not money in and of itself, is the root of all evil. Why? Because some will covet after it to the point where they will err from the faith. And we've seen that a lot, with especially a lot of the big pastors, right, who maybe started off small, then they got so much money where money became their guiding principle opposed to leading folks to Christ, and they got caught up in just getting the money. So money in and of itself, it can't be evil, because God requires that we give offerings. God requires that we give 10% tithe. God requires that we support and expand his kingdom, and it's all done through money. So let's talk about getting your money right. On yesterday, I said I was going to focus with you on building a budget. So let's do that within this 15 minutes. And I asked you as your task yesterday for you to sit down and to make out your own budget. So let's talk about that and see if you have some of these things in the budget. The first thing I want to discuss is what my mom calls her 10-20-70 rule. You give 10% to the Lord, 20% to yourself, and you plan your life out of the other 70%. And my mom has done very well in life, I will tell you, especially being someone who came up during an era of segregation. She owns multiple properties, you know, extremely large home, et cetera. And my mom lives debt-free. So I'm telling you that she's somebody who's qualified to say this and never had a financial training or background. And that's where I want you to get, and that's where I want me to get. 10% tithe, 20% goes to yourself, which means in your savings, not to be touched, because you're building your nest egg. You will not be able to rely on Social Security alone when you retire. You might just be getting $1,100, $1,300 a month. And if you don't know how much you'll be getting, I urge you to go to Social Security's website. I did this last week. And you can create an account, and automatically within that account, it will show you what your total life earnings are right now and what you would get if you became disabled right now and what you would get if you retire at, you know, a certain age, like 65. So please do that. It will help you to see what your life will look like when you hit retirement age. And if that's not what you want it to be, start working now on fixing this. So 20% goes into savings. 70% is what you build your life off of to say, well, this is the kind of home I can afford. This is the kind of car I can afford. And remember, within that, you also have to have what? You have to have a line item for your rent or mortgage, whichever applies to you. You have to have a line item for your utilities, right? You can't just have that in the wind. You should have a budgeted amount for what this should be. And then if you see that you're over that every month, you need to either look and adjust in the home and make sure that people are turning lights off and, you know, things such as that. Or maybe you need to adjust it and make sure that it will cover that amount. So, for instance, I live alone. I have an exact amount as a maximum that my electricity bill should be every month. If I go over that, I go back and look and see if I've been leaving the television on, you know, all day long, even though I may not be here, et cetera. So your rent or mortgage, your utilities, then you have to have a budgeted amount for groceries. Again, I know how much groceries cost me every week. And I hate to tell you, but I can walk right in the grocery store, go to the aisles. I carry a list, but I really don't need it because I generally buy the same things every week. But I have my grocery list is even to a budget. It's this much for snacks, this much for beverages, this much, you know, for meat and stuff I have to cook, household items, this much for what I like to do for myself, you know, my beauty items, all of that. I have it down to a science. And then you got to have your other bills. So if you have credit cards, that needs to be in the budget. If some of you have, maybe you're paying the IRS because, you know, you're not in that bracket where you get money back. You're in that bracket where you have to pay. That payment should be in your budget. If you have student loans, that payment should be in the budget. Most people don't include this. Somehow they're just hoping it's going to work out. But money answers all things. If you know that you have to drive to work, your gas amount should be in your budget. And I know some of you are saying, my God, this is so detailed. Yes, it is. Because this is how you get to financial freedom and living life by design. Because what you find is people don't include this. Then every week they're saying, I never have enough money. I never have enough money. You know why? Because you are not including things which are a necessary and routine expense in your budget. You must buy the gas for work, whether you write it down or not. You must buy the groceries, whether you write it down or not. So when you don't write it down, you just end up with no money. And so if you have children, you have to have a certain amount in the budget, like grandkids, so whatever you have that you are taking care of, you need to have that in the budget. How much can you afford to spend on clothing? How much is expected for their activities? Maybe they're in the band. Maybe they're in Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts. All of these things, they're recurring expenses. So you got to include those things in your budget. Now, another line item that I want you to include that most people don't include is emergency. Most of the time, the reason people go broke is those emergencies that occur, like the car breaks down, the air conditioning breaks down. Some of these kinds of situations happen and they don't have any money, so they have to try to borrow from someone or they go to the payday loans and get caught up in that high interest trap. So there should be a slot in your budget for emergencies. And I'm going to tell you that a financial advisor taught me this many, many years ago. He said you should always have at least $1,000 available for emergencies, whether that's on your credit card, whether that's in your checking account that you don't spend, because most emergencies run somewhere between $500 and $1,000. If someone passes away in your family, for example, and you got to buy a ticket home, it's usually going to run within that. Your car breaks down, usually you need somewhere within that. Something happens in the home, you need somewhere within that. So if right now you don't have at least $1,000 emergency cash, I mean immediately available, then you need to have that line item in your budget. And you determine how much you can afford out of your budget. Maybe for some of you, to get there, you can only afford $50 a week or $50 a month. Others of you may have, you can put your $1,000 in next week. But whatever it is, part of your budget is to get that $1,000 emergency cash. So that's one line. Another line is overall emergencies. This is different. So you're going to get your $1,000 emergency cash, but then you're going to allot another line item. I know we're running out of time. I hope you're loving this because this is really good financial freedom teaching. Another line for emergencies. Why? Because you got to keep that money replenished. If you have to use the $1,000, you will have backup. And remember, this money cannot be spent to go shopping, not to get your hair and nails done, then not to go fishing. This is for emergencies. Then the other line item that I want to make sure that you include within there is petty cash. This is money for yourself. So like for me, I know how often I had to get my nails and my hair done and my lashes, and I know exactly how much it costs. So guess what? It's in my budget. That's that petty cash, things for me to go out and enjoy myself. Maybe you like to go to the movies. Maybe you like to go hunting or fishing. There's nothing wrong with that, folks. This should be in your budget. Plus, I know I like to shop. I have a shoe fetish. I mean, a shoe fetish. I love shoes. So all of this is within my budget. Now, what you have gone through and you have listed out every expense, including these things that I've taught you, and I know the time is running out, so let me finish, that tells you how much money you need to make at a minimum every week or every month. Because you know, when you add up all your bills, you still know 10% has to go to tithe that you have to give. So that's another bill that should be in there. Tithe should be a line on your expense. And 20% has to go to savings. So if you add up all of that, and let's say it equals $5,000 a month, but you only make $3,200 a month, what are you going to do about this? Because remember, you're living life by design, and today we're focusing on getting your money right. Well, you have basically two options. Number one, you go back through, and you're going to have to slice some numbers in your budget where you can. But usually, that's not going to be a lot, folks, because if you've been listening, I've been giving you the necessary expenses. So maybe you can trim off a little bit here on the electric bill. Maybe you can give your kid, you know, less money. But in general, these things are recurring. Maybe you can trim off, you know, for yourself. Because like me, my petty cash might be what some people don't consider petty, for me to get my shopping and everything done. Or your other option is you get a part-time job or a better job. Or if you're able to work overtime, you work overtime. Now, hear me on this. There's nothing wrong with getting an extra job. There's nothing wrong with an honest day's work. But where it becomes an issue is when having to get the extra job begins to interfere with your relationship with God, your home, and your marriage. I mean, and your kids. So if you got to get an extra job, but now you're never at home, wife, or you're never at home, husband, then it's not worth it. It's going to cause some issues in your marriage because you have no time for your spouse. And if you don't have time, somebody else is going to make the time. I'm just telling you, I know you don't like that, but I'm telling you the way it is, whether you like it or not. Or you don't have time for church, your spirit will suffer. So if it is that you have to work an extra job just to get things back under control, then what I encourage is that you and your spouse, first of all, determine which person is going to work the extra hours or the extra job. Hopefully, it's not both of you, because then one person can be there to comfort and console and keep the other person encouraged. And then you determine how long you're going to do this. It can't be forever, But maybe for 1 year or 2 years, honey, we're going to do this just to get our finances back under control so that we can get to live in that 10, 20, 70 rule. We got 20% of what we're making going into savings. We're building up maybe money to go on a vacation that we've never gone on, our honeymoon or something like that. I promise you nothing is wrong with that because money answers all things. But it just cannot be to the point where it interferes with your relationship with your with the Lord or those closest to you. Well, our time has run out. I hope that this has been helpful. And if it has, please go on my website and send me a message and let me know that this was beneficial because I could have broken it down more, but we've run out of time. So on tomorrow, we will focus on Living by Design Part 3. I don't know what that part is going to be yet because the Lord really gives this to me each morning, but I know he wants me to stay within this vein. Let's go into prayer. It's going to be very short because we run out of time. Dear Lord, we come in Jesus' name. We magnify you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I ask you, God, to bless everyone financially who's on this broadcast. Let this word be sealed within them and within me. Let us get our money right so that we can live fruitful, productive, and joyous lives. We know that your word is true. Money answers all things. We can't pull up to the gas station, speak in tongues, and our tanks be full. We have to have money, Lord God. We can't go to the electricity company and say hallelujah and shout, and they keep the lights on. We have to have money. Help us, Lord. Help us to be those who are able to give and lend and not borrow because we've gotten our finances in order. I count it done. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't have time to do announcements, but please tune in live tomorrow. The number is 323-870-4180 for the Morning Motivation broadcast at 6:30 a.m. Eastern. And if you miss it, please go to the website. I post it each morning after 8 a.m. And please share this with somebody else. Especially if you are in a relationship or married, you guys need to listen to this together so that you can begin to get your money right. Your task for this morning is to go back now that you've really learned how to do this budget and revise your budget. If you have a spouse, you have to do this together. So make him or her or ask him or her to listen to the teaching. I'll see you in the morning. I love you. Bye-bye.